Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Arriving on Cultaholic Island via Staten Island, we are very happy to be joined by, I would say, G Fuel's favourite wrestler. I do believe that his blood was swapped out for G Fuel some time ago, and you're going to find out why as we get to chat. I am joined today by the one and only Power Punch, Vinny Pacifico. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thank you very much for having me. Beautiful day out here in New York. It's fall. Nothing better than being on a podcast today on a nice full morning.
So what's the weather doing currently in your neck of the woods, in your part of the
it's,
world?
It's, as I like to call, crisp.
Oh,
my type
nice.
That's right, my favorite type of weather. You know, you go out, get a nice pumpkin spice latte, you go to the gym, it's a nice brisk walk. It's beautiful.
I call over here, it's about 3 degrees this morning. This afternoon, really.
Really?
Yeah, but do you know what? That's all right for over here. We'll take it.
Okay. 3 degrees?
I would have thought New York, you'd have been used to a bit of a nip in the air.
Not in the last couple of years. It's been pretty... The last couple of years, it's been like no snow. You'd be surprised.
Actually, I'm talking... Do you know what?
New York.
I'm talking out my ass, Vinny. It's 12 degrees. I'm talking out my ass. It was... I don't know where I got 3 degrees from. Oh, it's 4 degrees tomorrow morning. That'll be lovely. What I love and why I'm so excited to chat, Vinny, is there's very rarely somebody that I come across on the wrestling scene that has a similar level of beautiful, frenetic energy to I. And I'm delighted to finally meet my match in you, sir, because from the comparatively short time that I've known all about the world beyond in the ring. Mm-hmm. You're a ball of energy, and I'm excited to find out all about it today.
Hell yeah. How it's got to be. It's how it's got to be to do what you have to do and to get to what you have to get. You have to always, or try to be, the best you could be. So I feel like I'm always, always energized, but more than just the caffeine, it's how I've always been as a person. Ever since I was a little kid, I've always been very energetic. Blessed with that as well, I would say, because it's a good quality to have, I guess.
We'll get into it. But what we're going to do as we talk today as well, Vinny, we're going to ask you what three wrestling matches you would watch whilst metaphorically stranded on a desert island. Three matches from your time as a wrestling fan, matches that have some significance to you at any era, any time, any particular wrestlers or whatever. We're going to talk about them as we go through. So I would like us to start, Vinny, with your first wrestling match, please.
Okay, so I'm going to – so this might be different. I'm going to go with strictly WWE for this one because I feel like most of the fans watching are probably WWE fans as well and probably –
Cheers, mate.
Understand.
Tony Khan's crying. You can't win. I wouldn't worry about it.
I would say there are some AEW matches that I love. Ring of Honor matches that really mean a lot to me since I've been at Ring of Honor. It's just, I want to go with WWE because that's how I grew up being a fan of. And this match right now, and I'm going to say this now, the match that got me to want to be a professional wrestler and moved me as a human being was Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H WrestleMania. because that match just brought Daniel Bryan is and was always will be my favorite wrestler of all time. He has done more for me than he'll ever know, and is motivated me to become a wrestler. And as a fan, all I wanted to see was him win the WWE title. You know, I was 13 or 4. I remember how I was like in my early teens during that time, the Yes Movement and all that. And just seeing how all the fans got behind him was just so cool to see as a fan. And I actually went to a show, I believe it was Raw, and seeing all those things happen just to lead to that match at WrestleMania has really spoken to me and motivated me to become a wrestler.
The story of that match is unlike any other, because it's the match that shouldn't have been a match. It wasn't the direction internally that WWE were going in, and it was something that they were absolutely railroaded by, the absolute love, the undeniable love for Daniel Bryan. It led to Occupy Raw, one of my favorite episodes during that Yes Movement period, where the fans took over the ring until he got himself a title match at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And it was a great example of the genuine, you know, WWE often says, oh, we do, you know, we give you what you want. It was the best example I've ever known of actually, no, you're giving us what we want, and you're doing it almost despite us. You're giving us Daniel Bryan in the main event, but to get there, first match of WrestleMania 30, it was Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. And of all the matches technically that you've seen from Daniel Bryan, why that one?
Because of the emotion and the way it made you feel. Yes, he's had some matches that, and also that match was very good in ring as well. Mm-hmm. Hands down, very good in ring. But just the way it made you feel and the way you just didn't know which way it would go. That is what it did for me. And I'm going by how I was as a fan and how it made me want to be a wrestler. And that's why I'm using this match in this podcast, because it made me feel a type of way to motivate me to become a wrestler. And I went to a meet and greet shortly after that, or a little before that, might've been before that. And I was talking to him. I was like, hey, I would love to become a wrestler. Like, I love this. This is something I want to do. I played football in high school, but I kind of wanted to stop and do this. And he was completely motivating, completely positive about it, and gave me great words of wisdom. So ever since that, I was just gung-ho becoming a wrestler. And then seeing all that happen, cultivate to WrestleMania, came full circle. And that's just a moment that you can't even write. It has to just happen naturally. And it's just a beautiful thing. That's something that beautiful about wrestling, because wrestling can do things to you emotionally and take you out of what you're going through. You know, some people are at home not living happy lives, they're going through something, going through a tough moment in their life, and this wrestling is such a beautiful live experience that could take you out of your hard moments in life. So that's why I feel professional wrestling is such a beautiful thing, and I'm very blessed and very lucky to be a part of this, because I love it so much.
You spoke so glowingly about your meet and greet with Daniel Bryan on a few occasions, and mm-hmm. the advice he gave to you when you said, I want to be a wrestler, he said, just do it, just go for it, just pursue it, just follow it, see where it takes you. And have you ever told Daniel, obviously now you're a bit more in the in and amongst it with the wrestling world mm-hmm. than you were then, does he know the significant impact that he's had on you?
I don't know. I've said it on quite a few podcasts. People have tweeted it. People have tagged him in things a lot, or many articles. This is in with shared. So I don't know if he knows. I've seen him on 3 occasions, handshake and a smile. I have not told him. I have not said anything to him, because I just don't want to. I don't want to be one of those guys who's like, oh my God, thank you. You know, I want to eventually down the line, maybe if I get to know him better or whatever. But I don't feel I don't want to bother anybody with just those words. I want to show him, you know.
I hear you. That's a lovely way of doing it. Let's rewind the clock a little bit more. SummerSlam 2007. Happy birthday, Vinny. We're off to see the wrestling. That was where you went. It was a special occasion, that one. Where were you as a wrestling fan by then? Because I know you've mentioned previously that another, away from Daniel Bryan, another match that turned you on to wrestling was Kurt Angle and John Cena.
I was going to use that one. I was going to use the No Mercy one. That's one that I loved. But I was in a, in this podcast, I was going to use Kurt and John Cena from John Cena's first match ever, because that signifies and shows new beginnings and just shows it. Just, it's a motivating thing just to see someone come out and just want to change. It's just, I don't know how to put it into words. It's just, he came out and was ready to go, and it seemed like a new thing and a new birth to John Cena. And that is something that, as a wrestler, you love feeling those new things, whether it's a new debut, whether it's a big opportunity, whether it's a new match that you want to have. It just makes you feel like, wow, this person's coming out, his first match on television against Kurt Angle. Go ahead. Go kill it. You know what I mean? And that's something that speaks to me as a wrestler, because I've had, in the last couple of years, I've had very, very big matches, whether it's on TV, whether it's with a huge Matt Sydal, EC3, Rocky Romero, Bobby Fish, all these huge names I wrestled recently. And it's just, you feel ready. You feel the next step is coming. One of the next big moments in your career could be happening. So that match with John Cena just shows new beginnings, new life, birth into a new era of your career. And that's always something as a wrestler you want to strive for. So just seeing John Cena do that and seeing how he pushed and went on with that was just such a really beautiful moment, because that led to what he is now. And that's one of the best in the world.
And so from that match, you fell in love with wrestling and
I fell in love with wrestling from SmackDown versus Raw 07.
Oh, what a game.
That's how I.
What a game. God, lad.
The best. That's how I fell in love with wrestling. My friends were playing it. I was at my friend's house. My dad's friend's sons were playing it on the PS2, I think it was. I was like, oh my God, this is such a weird, like, they were playing as the Boogeyman and Rey Mysterio. Two people you would see, you're like, this is real life? A person in a really cool mask with, like, cool tattoos and pants, and then you have a Boogeyman with the face paint and the worms. It's like, this is real life? I had no idea. So then I started watching, like, YouTube, that I'm like, Boogeyman and Rey Mysterio, and it's like, this is just so captivating, you know? I think I was like 6 or 7 years old, maybe 8, I don't remember. I was young, and I was just so like, wow, this is just different. This is special. I love this. And that's what really got me into wrestling. My dad's really good friend at the time, his wife got me tickets to SummerSlam with their husband. And we went, it's to Nassau Coliseum, I think it was, 2007, John Cena versus Randy Orton, SummerSlam. That's when I was like, oh, this is really, really cool. You know, this is something, this is just captivating. Like I said, I keep using that word, but it's what it is. It for me, if I see wrestling, I look, I can't not look. So that is, so at that time, I was really a big fan of it. And I didn't know I was playing football at the time. I played football when I was like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and I was like 13, and I was like, now I want to wrestle. I think I started at 14, 15 years old. But I was playing football, and I loved both wrestling and football, but I didn't think I could become a wrestler at the time. I was like 7 or 8 years old. But yeah, so I was just a huge fan at the time. I was going to every live event I can go to with my friends. I got my friends into it. And yeah, that's how it went. That's how it happened.
It's funny you say like you've played football for so long, and I distinctly remember you talking about this, and you, when the sort of the penny dropped, you went, Dad, I want to be a wrestler. From that moment, your dad went, I tell you what, stick out the football, see how that goes first. That seemed to turn you off football completely, because as far as you were concerned, like, I want to do this now. And so do you think it's fair to say that your enthusiasm for football just completely fell off when you decided I need to be a wrestler now?
Yes, because I wanted to. I don't know what it was at the time that was like making me say I need to do this, but I was like really, really looking for something new to do. Yeah, and what got me to really say I want to do this, I went to a live event. It was Randy Orton versus Bryan Danielson at Super Show, I think it was, in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And after the match, the main event, everyone went back. Brian was giving high fives. I have it on my little phone. I had a little blue phone. I videoed it. He gave me a high five. And that was like, damn, I want to do this. And like, I guess it comes down to a lot of Bryan Danielson, like a lot of his moments with wrestling. So it was like, a lot of things that involved him got me into wanting to do wrestling. So that was a good moment for me. Like, when you're a kid, getting a high five from one of your favorite wrestlers, it's a really cool moment. So that's, I was like, you know what? I want to do this. Told my dad I wanted to do this. He was like, ah, you could do it, yes, but just play football for 1 year. You're really good. I was a quarterback. As a quarterback, it's a very tough position and a very good position to be in because you're the leader of the team. I just wanted to wrestle. I was not. And the high school football team I was on, it was very toxic. They were bullies, making fun of other kids. There was too much going on. I was just not interested in it anymore. The people were being nasty to me because if I dropped the ball or I fumbled the ball, they'd yell at me and stuff. And I just didn't like that. I didn't like the environment I was in. A kid once, I never told this story before, but a kid once peed in the Gatorade bucket. Where people, you know, where people in practice, you drink Gatorade?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the kids peed in the Gatorade bucket. And I don't know how they found out. Thank God they did. Thank God they found out. But yeah, disgusting. And they made the whole, because the kid didn't want to fess up to it, they made the whole team sprint and do crab walks the whole football field. And it was just really, and it was 100-degree weather. It was very toxic, very, very not safe for certain people. Some other kids were having asthma attacks. Some kids couldn't handle it. So I was like, you know what? This is cool. I like football. I always love football, but wrestling's what I want to do. So I started wrestling. And my father really was so supportive of everything I was doing. Like he never said, oh, you can't do this. Oh, I'm not really sure about this. He was always like, go ahead, follow your dream. And now, more than ever, he's so proud of me because of things I've been doing lately.
Do you think it sounds like from what we know that your mind was made up, like wrestling was the way.
Yes.
Do you think, had you not been in such a toxic environment when you were a quarterback, do you think it might have slightly changed your mind?
No, because I was shifting that way earlier. That was icing on the cake.
That was like the deciding point. It was like, no, this isn't what I want to do, and that's fine. That's
yep.
It. One thing I love, and we've only spoke for about 20-odd minutes, so the one thing I love is this snapshot memory you have of these key moments as young Vinny. Meeting people, the high five with Bryan Danielson, the meet and greet moments, the bright lights and the captivatingness of SummerSlam. Like, how do you cope being at a point now where there are young people coming to you, doing what you do, and being the person that you wanted to meet all those years ago?
I love it so much. I always wanted to be a light to people. I always wanted to be someone they could look up to, someone they could come to, and I'm very giving. I'm very respectful. I'm always trying to help people out. You come to me with advice, I will give you advice. You come to me and watch your match, I watch your match. I do not want nothing in return. I don't want nothing. I just want to give back to wrestling. I want to give back to people. And just for the love of wrestling and for people did this for me. You know, growing up, I had wrestlers, you know, watch my matches, give me advice, do things they didn't have to do for me. So I want to do the same thing for other people as well. I always believe helping others and I always believe giving back because it's what you do. It's what you do. It's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. It's some people don't do it. I feel not notice at this point. Some people don't like helping others. Some people don't want to help others. Some people just want to focus on themselves, and that's okay. I focus on myself, but I'm still able to give a few minutes to people who need help, who ask me for advice. They're trusting me with the question, hey, Vinny, can you watch this match for me? They're trusting me with my opinion. Of course, the least I could do is give you my advice, you know, or can you give me some advice on this promo or advice on this character that I'm thinking about, or how can I get sponsored? And those are questions that are hard to give because getting sponsored was something that I did not plan. It just happened both times, Bang and G Fuel. It happened without me even trying for it, you know? So I try to give advice on that, but it's just, I've been extraordinary lucky to get these opportunities with that. So yes, I'm always willing to give and help others whenever I can.
For the record, I don't think you're lucky. I think you're a grafter, and I think that you make the opportunity. I'm a firm believer in that. I don't think you're lucky at all. I think, you know,
thank you very much.
I think if you were crap and you got it, then you'd be lucky. But I don't think you but I don't think you're crap. So I think there's
Thank you. I know.
That's not me chewing you out in any way, shape, or form. I often catch myself doing that where I go, wow, how lucky am I that I'm doing this and I've got this happening. And I go, actually, no, I've worked really hard, and then that's happened as a result of me working hard.
Mm-hmm.
You speak so passionately about, you know, wanting to help out and give more, and you say, because you say that's what you do. Where does that come from?
I've always been a person to help people out. When I was younger, I never said this on a podcast before, but I went to my mom had a friend who rescued a kid who was poor and very sick, and I've always seen my mom and her friend helping that kid out. She rescued him, adopted him, and I always try to help him as well. You know, whether it be show him a new movie, show him a book. We watched Curious George. You know, sadly, that kid passed away. But he was somebody in my life who I always saw help people helped him out, and he needed help. He really genuinely needed help, and my mom and her friends and I myself and my family were just so willing to help him because he needed it. And that's where I kind of got that from, just helping others and just being selfless when you can, because at the end of the day, that's the person who really, truly needed that at the time. And we try to give him a really good life. You know, I was his best friend for like 8 months, you know, but how long I'd known him for. I tried to always include him in all my activities, you know, playing stickball with my friends or whatever. And I hope that, you know, he had a good life when we was a part of our lives. But I just always wanted to be somebody who could help others and make someone else's day better, because this is what the world needs now more than ever. But also just in general, making people smile, making people feel better about themselves, making people forget about any moment they've had that upsets them. Because I just, why not? It's harder to not do it, I feel like, in my opinion.
Yes, it is. That's it. It's trickier to be a dickhead. Like, yeah. life, but you do it the complicated way around if you're a dickhead. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like a big part of being nice is the great cheat to being a good person is fundamentally, it's the lazy approach.
It's easy to be nice.
And I'm amazed when I see people that don't get that, Vinny. Like, it's the lazy approach to be nice and just to be good. It's so easy. Let's talk about back on the wrestling thing. So we're going to have Angle. Do we have Angle and John Cena as your second match? That was the one you were going to choose, was it?
Yes, I would say, but not the one that I watched at No Mercy. The first one I ever watched with John Cena, and because of New Beginnings, because of how that what's the word? It showed you just a whole new beginning of someone's career. So that's just
Genesis,
a beautiful moment.
Genesis, maybe?
What was the word?
A Genesis?
Yes, that's the word.
A Renaissance? We'll go with Genesis.
Yes. Side note, Tom. You mentioned working very hard. You mentioned how much you put into this. And let's see how things pay off for you. And I'm very happy to see that. My manager at G Fuel, I told him that I was on this podcast with you. And he was like, oh my God. He was very, very shocked to hear that. He's very, because he religiously watches Fightful and Cultaholic. And he knows of you very well. And he was very excited.
What's your manager's name at G Fuel?
Name's Eddie.
Eddie! Big hi, Eddie. Love your work. I'll tell him. Oh, please pass it on. If he's not heard this, then please pass on our love from us here at Cultaholic.
Definitely. He's a wonderful human being, truly.
Thank you for keeping Vinny Pacifico energized. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Much needed.
you recently got to spend some time with Kurt Angle. I loved you popping up on the Kurt Angle show. How did that come about, out of interest?
So, someone, I use his moveset, and a part of my character is a part of the, how do I put this? The Power Punch character is me, but it's also a little bit based off Kurt Angle. And I think he found that out. And I think one of his people found that out. And they got into contact with me. do the podcast. And I also do some of his moveset, the ankle lock, the angle slam. So that's how that came about. And it's just, I do base some of my character off of his character, because Power Punch was meant to be a villain in the beginning. And it didn't work out that way. It worked out the complete opposite. It got super over. But it was supposed to be, I'm so energized and so freaking annoying that you can't stand me. Sort of like how he was. Like, he was so nice, but it was in a villain type of way, heelish way. Sort of the same thing with me, but like in just energy drinks and certain different like ways of incorporating myself into it. But it just, I was supposed to be a villain, and it didn't work out that way. That people were just like really invested behind it and chanting it at shows, and they had to turn me.
That, what, can you remember the moment where that conversation happened? Would this have happened at Pro Wrestling Magic, or would this have happened somewhere else?
Which conversation
was it? The about turning you face, about turning you.
A few places.
Okay.
A few places. Yes, Magic. I was always a face, and Magic is somewhere that like I give a lot to them because they've given a lot to me in the beginning. So I've always tried to, whenever I can, whenever I'm available, whenever I'm able to, I try to give them all my time. And I also love giving back to them because, again, I love the talent there, the people there. So, yes. No, but that's not one of the places. That's one of the places that I stayed face because of the character being so over. But, yeah, a few places that were like, we have to turn your face. And occasionally I'll heal it out and get cheered. But again, and then sometimes they hate me. They hate it. You know, I drink the energy drink and I missed it in the guy's face and they boo, you know. Just ways of incorporating some good character work and energy drinks.
and I bet they love that as well, do G-Fuel? The fact that you've created a persona that's a little bit Kurt Angle and a little bit energy drink, and it's a marketing bit of genius, I've got to say.
Thank you. I try to always incorporate My mind never stops, wrestling wise. Character, myself. I use a lot of my own personality into it, but it's also just nonstop ideas going on in my head. Like, I'll go for a walk and just be thinking about promos, thinking about match spots, thinking about everything I could do, you know, to just keep getting better and change things and just make progress. But yes, G Fuel is very happy with me. But specifically, when I did New Japan and I drank the energy drink on pay-per-view, that made them the happiest, because no one for them did that for them. Obviously, I'm one of the only athletes they have on their roster, but they really were very, that was like the moment they were like, I trust this guy to really do something with that company.
G Fuel were happy with that?
Very. They shared it. Yeah. They made their own post with it. They were very happy with that whole segment, that whole G Fuel thing with New Japan, because New Japan's huge and I'm on it. And I incorporated my character and the sponsorship that I had the character with the company. So it was just, they were all very, very pleased. The managers up, the top managers were very, very impressed, very pleased. And Eddie was very, very happy too. Eddie's a wrestling fan.
Oh, and that helps.
Yes, big time.
That helps when it terms of what you're doing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This year, you mentioned New Japan there. You've had your first steps into New Japan this year. It's been a phenomenal year for you.
Thank
it really
you.
Has. And it's just, it's sort of post-pandemic. We've seen it's funny how the pandemic, there was a bit of a churn and some people didn't quite come back the same. Some people thrived in it. Like you came back, you know, post pandemic, you did your first WWE appearance. You popped up on NXT. Which is pretty exciting. You've done, you've been with AEW during the pandemic and you got, you know, powerbombed to shit by Wardlow and you've been beaten up by Hobbs. So that's good. Yep. When you go into these roles, and these are really, and I want to bring this in because you talked about how much you like to help and support. When you go into these companies like WWE, like AEW, in an extra role, what are the three top tips that you could give somebody heading into that position?
Eyes open, ears open. Be a sponge. Learn and be available. That's two.
Okay.
If they need you for a match, because that match could change your life. You never know. That's two. Just be available. And three, this is something that goes without saying, every opportunity given, make the absolute most out of it. You have to. Any opportunity, whether it's tag match, six-man match, scramble, singles match, title match, main event match, or even the gym. Make most of the gym. Like, I tried to squeeze, like this morning, I had an hour to go to the gym. I squeezed everything out of that session I can for this podcast. And podcasts, that's another thing. Every opportunity you're given, make the most of it. I believe that I'm very lucky to have people who want to sit and listen to me talk. You know, I consider that a blessing, because for you to want to sit here and listen to me spew about wrestling is just a very nice thing, and I'm very lucky to be on this podcast.
But you know why, though? You know why? Because I've heard this, when you talk about wrestling, your eyes light up, you lift, you move, and there is nothing better than when you do a show like this and you're talking to somebody who you can tell absolutely loves the freaking bones off of what they do. And that in itself is a metaphorical G Fuel, if you will, for people who want to get in and, you know, and follow in the footsteps of things that you do is in hearing those stories, because you care so much about it. When it comes to those opportunities, like you say, be available is a big one, because they can just drop at any point. Like in terms of the AEW spots that you've done, one during the pandemic, one afterwards, how much notice did you get to do that? What was the turnaround from the phone call to see if you're available to the three count at the end?
So they kind of get to you weeks prior, you know, and usually it's if it's a Wednesday, usually available, you know, if it's a Saturday. I always put first. I always try my best to prioritize the bookings I have. But if opportunity calls, where it's AEW, WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor, any big company, the company you're working for will or should understand the bigger opportunity you have at hand to take it. In my opinion, that's what I believe. I believe that if you get called and you have enough notice, and you tell the promoter, hey, listen, I got called by this company, I believe they should be supportive and try to motivate you and push you to go do it. But yes, so it's not a long process. It's like, hey, you available? Yes, I am. Okay, great. Then you go there and then you find out what's going on, usually. It all varies. It's all a very thing. I love it because it's just something that's just different. I strive in pressure moments. I don't know. 2 weeks ago, I got called. I had a show, tournament. I get there, and it's just, I get there, and everything is just a little bit disorganized. I guess a wrestler couldn't make it, this person couldn't make it, this person got hurt, and just things fall, and you have to be always ready to pick up whatever you need to do. So I always thrive in pressured moments. So yes, that's something that I thrive in. So another thing, if you have something that, another piece of advice, try your best to do better in moments under pressure, because that is when that's when it matters most sometimes.
Yeah, make sure that when you get there, you could be somebody that they may even need to lean on.
Yeah, and I've had moments where I got there and they're like, hey, Vinny, you know what, your main event tonight. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't see this coming, you know, or... Years ago, my first, maybe second year in, they were like, hey, Vinny, you're tag teaming with Hurricane and Rosie. And I was like, oh, in the main event? Yeah, okay. And it was, I did not see that coming out of nowhere. So be ready for anything and give your absolute best. That's my advice.
Great way to look at it as well. Like, I was going to ask you if there were those moments where something happened last minute that really you loved and that shocked you. And I think tagging with Hurricane and Rosie is a pretty cool one.
That was awesome. Also, I had a match 2 weeks ago, and like I said, things didn't go planned. I made it to the finals and won the whole tournament. And then after the tournament ended, Jay Lethal came out and rescued me. They jumped me. Jay Lethal came out and rescued me, made the save. That was something I didn't see coming. You know, I didn't even know he's on the show. So, like I said, wrestling is just unpredictable in the best way. And it could be like, oh, something doesn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. You have to roll with the punches. But again, always stay positive, always stay motivated to do better and to give your best.
I like it. When it comes to, okay, let's talk about some non-wrestling. I like to spring this on people. It's not a bad thing, I promise. As well as taking three wrestling matches, I'm going to ask you to choose a movie, an album, and a luxury item to take with you as well. In terms of a luxury item, that can be something with sentimental value, maybe a bit of tech, maybe something that you'd like to have with you if you're isolated for a while. We'll get to that at the end. If I say to you, you could take a movie with you, Vinny, what movie are you taking with you?
Wow. One movie.
One movie, sir. I may accept a trilogy. Depends on the
Star
trilogy.
Wars.
Hey,
Star
there
Wars.
You go. I mean, I should have known looking at the shirt that the Star Wars should have been in there as well.
Star Wars.
Which
one
is the
item?
Well, before you get to the item, which Star Wars is there, if you, okay, we'll let you take them all, but in Vinny's opinion, what's the number one Star Wars film? Ooh.
Five. And I like three though. I like three a lot because of just how Vader became Vader, but five is really good.
Five's,
I'll say five.
Great. Yeah. Everyone says five because the heels win. You don't get that in films very often.
Yep. Yep.
Not many films where the heels win.
Five was great. You said item, right? Item and what else?
An album.
Lady Gaga, The Fame.
Oh, good shout.
I love her. I love Lady Gaga.
When you're in the gym and you need that one song that's just going to push you through what's probably a difficult workout, what's the one Lady Gaga song that can come on that can just give you that last bit of boost?
Just Dance.
Good shout. Nicely done, nicely done. No. Luxury item, Vinny, what will it be?
What do you, item, like, is that like a phone?
It can be your phone, it could be something that's got some, it can be something that'll bring you a bit of comfort on the island, it can be, some people are taking their pets, some people are taking animals with them.
Fiance?
Yeah, you know what, I'll let you take your fiance. We won't tell her she's a luxury item, she's a luxury lady. We'll do that instead.
Luxury lady, yes.
A luxury lady.
That doesn't sound so right. Item. But she's a luxury lady, yes.
A luxury
lady.
No,
but I would say if I have to really say item, I would say my phone because I could reach people who I need to reach.
There you go. There you go.
And that's important too.
What's the most used app on your phone?
Twitter and music.
Nice. Okay. Good shout. You mentioned a fiance there.
Yes.
How did you guys meet? What's the story?
Great story. I saw a commercial on TV. One of those commercials about the dogs in the pound where they're sick. You know those commercials? You have to donate to this thing.
Oh yeah! Look at this sad dog and like do 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 do.
Yes.
Give us a dollar, or this dog will probably die. Like they.
Exactly
I've lost
that.
I've lost thousands to those commercials.
That was on my TV 2 days prior. Somehow I followed her on Instagram. I don't know how it happened. I guess I maybe pushed out an accident. She was there one day and she followed me back. Crazy. Don't know how it happened. Maybe I met her, but like, I don't think I wouldn't forget that because I don't drink. I don't do anything. Like I don't, you know, I don't smoke. So I feel like my mind is usually like, I don't drink. So I don't feel like I would go to a bar, drink, get drunk and then add you. You know what I mean? I wouldn't forget that. So I feel like, I don't know how it happened. Maybe I added her on accident. Maybe I was just going through my Instagram. I pushed the follow button. I don't know. But
did you see a nice lady and click follow, Vinny?
Maybe. Follow.
You're all good. We're only human.
And she posted She posted the same commercial of the dog, same commercial of that. And I was like, wow, this is so interesting. I just saw this commercial. LOL, how are you? My name is Vinny. My name is this. Pleasure to meet you. And just talking, just chit-chatting, whatever. And then she's like, I like Broadway. And I said, I love Broadway. I love plays. And then it just kept going and going. We made a date 2 days later at the Cheesecake Factory. And the rest is history.
Oh, wow. You were brought together by a sad dog.
Yes, a sad dog, sadly dying. And it's funny because she said, I wouldn't date younger than me. I'm eight years younger than her. That's one. Two, she said I would never date someone off of a DM.
Oh.
And both, I did. So I guess I got lucky. We both are very happy together. She is so supportive of my career, which is another thing of advice. Find a partner who is supportive of your career, because that is something that will make a world of a difference.
Oh,
a world of a difference. So supportive and motivating too. Like, babe, go to the gym. Okay. You know, very motivative, you know, and it's just amazing. I'm so lucky. And I like to think she's lucky too. Cause I try to always motivate her too, you know, always pushing her to do better, always pushing her to, you know, do that next step, you know. We both grow together. That's how I believe in relationships. You go together. You take each other's arms and go together. I want to give you that third match because I feel bad that I didn't give it to you yet.
Oh, no, we're gonna get to. Don't worry, it's in my mind. It's in here. But I wanted to dip into this because I thought you were gonna say that your first date was gonna be a Broadway show since you love Broadway.
You gotta love this. Go on. I bought tickets on Valentine's Day to Broadway. This was the year after, actually. I bought tickets to the Aladdin. She got sick. We couldn't go the day we bought tickets for. But they said those tickets. Is that a G Fuel?
No, it's a UK drink called Iron Brew. No one knows what it tastes like. No one knows what it tastes like. It's just tasty. Ask Eddie at G Fuel about Iron Brew. He might know what it is. I couldn't tell you what it's a UK thing. Couldn't tell you what it tastes like. It's just nice. No one knows what nice. Iron Brew tastes like.
If anyone asks you.
But we drink it anyway. Nice. It just tastes nice. We could be drinking poison, Vinny. But no one knows what it is. We just drink it anyway.
I'll do some research.
I don't know if I want you to. I've been worried now. Oh, it's poison. Great.
It's still very nice.
Tastes nice. That's all that matters. Sorry, so you bought Valentine's Day tickets.
But Valentine's Day tickets. You got sick. To go see Aladdin. She got very sick. And they said, oh, don't worry. You can come whenever you want. It's okay. You know, you could use tickets again. Just make sure that those seats are available. We still didn't go. And it's been 4 years.
Oh, no.
I wonder if those tickets are still usable. Probably not.
You might not. You could always cry, oh, the pandemic happened. We couldn't get to you.
That's true, too. I couldn't make it. You know, the pandemic happened. And I was working.
What's the best Broadway show you've ever seen, Vinny?
Well, ABBA.
Nice!
Mamma Mia.
Was not expecting Mamma Mia.
Oh, my gosh. We love Mamma Mia over here. My fiance actually did a Mamma Mia-style bachelorette party.
Oh, I bet that was loud.
It was, yes. They all wore the white, the Mamma Mia, with the disco, with the fake microphone, with the microphone earrings, the whole shebang. It was great.
That's amazing. I know that's a lovely surprise to people that Vinny's a Broadway guy.
And an ABBA fan.
And an ABBA. Oh, look at that. Have you? Are there plans to do stuff in the UK so you can go to the ABBA show? That hologram ABBA.
I didn't hear about this. Thing.
You don't know about that? You don't know about the ABBA show? So in London, there's a bespoke building that has been built where they do daily ABBA concerts, but they're hologrammatic versions of ABBA.
Must go. There's talks to go to UK, yes. But now that I know about that, there'll be discussions to go to that as well. Definitely.
Nice, nice. Oh, you say there's talks for the UK. That's quite exciting.
Yeah, some little flirting. not really flirting, but like just talking about going to getting some bookings out there.
Okay, that's not, that's exciting. We won't push you because we don't want to spoil the surprise. Mm-hmm. We don't want to spoil the surprise, but we can make that happen. Right, third and final match then, Vinny. I hadn't forgotten about it. It was always there.
I just didn't want you to forget about it, and I didn't want to forget about it.
We always go a bit around the houses on this, but we're always going to make it back.
I love it. It's hard. There's three matches. It's very hard. I love it. It's just challenging. The third match, I'm changing it.
Oh,
I'm going to go with Jeff Hardy and CM Punk. The match that they said, if Jeff Hardy loses, he has to retire. Remember that match?
Oh. That wasn't the first one they had, was it? No.
No.
I wouldn't have been.
2009?
SummerSlam 09. For the world title. Oh, was it SmackDown?
I'm pretty sure it was SmackDown. I remember taping it on TV and then seeing the next day Jeff Hardy lose and have to leave.
Oh,
ring a bell? Okay.
I think so. 2009, it seems to ring a bell here. CM Punk versus, yeah, for the world heavyweight title, it was a steel cage match.
Steel cage match.
Oh,
Jeff Hart, I remember. I changed the match that I had before. This match, I'm going to say this one because this made me feel devastated. I wanted to cry. I did cry, I think, because I was 9. And 10, and I was just devastated. I love Jeff Hardy, still do love him. I went to a meet and greet, met him as well, but I was way too young to even want to be a wrestler at the time. I was like 5 at a meet and greet with Jeff Hardy, or 6. But like I said, that match made me feel devastated. I watched that match, and I was like, I saw him fall off that cage, and I was like, no! And that broke me for like days. I would go searching on YouTube, on Google, like, is he really retiring? When's he coming back? You know how it is when you're like a real diehard fan, you don't know. And I was just searching and searching. That broke me. That really devastated me. I remember my father at the time recorded it on his TV. I stayed at his house that one night, and I woke up that next morning to see who won, you know, rewinding and fast forwarding that match. I remember that day I was like devastated.
Oh man, I love when wrestling gets you like that.
Yep.
It's such a special feeling when it does. Punk and Jeff always had wonderful chemistry. Like the storyline, yeah. The storyline that they told, you know, with, you know, Punk being straight edge guy and Jeff Hardy having his own history there. That was just part of it. And then the chemistry they had was incredible. Mm-hmm. And it'd be one I'd always love to have seen roll back, you know, beyond that sort of late noughties run. I don't know, and obviously with all that's gone on in AEW recently, I don't think that's something we'll see in our lifetime. But magnificent chemistry between the two.
Yeah.
Steel cage matches are always, there's always a special energy about a steel cage match.
Yeah, I want to be in one so bad.
I was going to ask whether or not there was one in your future or whether you'd whether you would dabble in one, but...
I'd love to. Depending on the opponent, I would do one death match as well, or two.
Who would be the opponent?
Is a few.
Okay.
Maybe two or three. Matt Cardona, because he's doing Deathmatch King sort of thing, so I would definitely do one with him. I would do a regular match with them too, obviously, but I feel like Deathmatch would be cool. Nick Gage or Effie. These are 3 people I would do a Deathmatch with.
I think an Effie Deathmatch would, you know, they're always fun whenever
always
Effie's, fun. Effie's involved. It's always a good time. And this, sir, has been a good time as well. It's been great to chat to you, get to know Vinny Pacifico on Cultaholic Island. Now, we want to make sure that people are supporting you as a G Fuel sponsored athlete. So how can people support you through G Fuel, first of all?
If you go on G Fuel and you want to buy a product that we have, use the code POWERPUNCH as your discount code. That just gives me good credit and good standing with them. Also, stay tuned. There may be a very big announcement with G Fuel and myself. Follow me. Yeah. Yep. Follow me at VinnyPacifico1 on Twitter and VinnyPacifico on Facebook and VinnyPacifico on Instagram and VinnyPacifico on TikTok. Just made TikTok last week. So pretty simple. Keep it simple. VinnyPacifico1 Twitter. That's my favorite app. My best one I use. You know, all my promos go there. All my gates, all my gym stuff, all my wrestling stuff goes right there.
Amazing. What's lovely about this show is you get to know some really good people. I'm really glad that we managed to get together and do this, because genuinely there's such a bright force on the indie scene right now, and his name is Vinny Pacifico. If you're on a show with Vinny, you're going to do all right. And if you're on a show with Vinny, don't be a dickhead. Thank you, Vinny Pacifico, for joining us on Cultaholic Island today.
Thank you for having me. It's an absolute honor and pleasure to be here and talk to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.